We're on with Dustin Detrick, the Vice President and Business Banking Relationship Manager at Associated Bank. Dustin, welcome back.
Glad to be back, Steve.
I'm going to start our conversation with a little bit of political news. A change in the Cook County Assessor's Office is coming. Fritz Kage, who was the assessor, was defeated in the last election by Pat Hines. Why is everybody talking about this, and especially in the business community?
Yeah, you know, some of these residential folks had the 17% increase on average for their taxes. It was the highest increase for these folks in 30 years. And so I guess not a surprise that there is a shift on the commercial side, the business side in particular for taxes. Hines looks like he was voted in. He's got a new mentality essentially on which way to sort of take this tax burden. You know, I think Kage ran on moving some of the tax burden from residential to commercial. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out. He had a different formula than the Board of Review. A lot of the commercial folks had tax increases. They went to contest those. The Board of Review agreed with them and actually dropped their values, which actually created this unfortunate shift from commercial to residential. But bigger term, a lot of developers and investors and just business folks couldn't predict. There was no consistency when it came around this tax side for them. And so I think it slowed down, or it did slow down, you know, people's ability or want to even come into Chicago. And so Hines looks like he's going to focus specifically on allowing more consistency, a better formula, and have these investors and developers be able to predict what that tax burden is going to be, and hopefully have that shift of excitement and moving some of the stuff back to Chicago.
Yeah, so, I guess the million-dollar question is here, is that commercial burden going to be higher or lower? Is the residential burden going to be higher or lower?
Well, residential got higher. You know, again, Kage wanted to move it towards commercial. It just didn't happen. You know, obviously with COVID hitting, the occupancy levels of the office spaces downtown decreased the values. A lot of those appeals essentially to the Board of Review were successful. And so a lot of that value and shift essentially moved it in the wrong direction. And so it looks like it's temporarily going to continue to be more of a residential weight, more of a residential pull. But essentially what Hines looks like he's trying to do is bring that excitement back. I mean, bring that vitality and the excitement back to downtown Chicago, which if you've been there and you know it, it just hasn't been there like it used to be. And I was actually at a near south planning board meeting, and the planning and development director was there talking about a lot of the office to residential conversions going on, a lot of excitement already in downtown Chicago. You know, the vacancy rate of those offices are 30%, and it's the highest it's ever been. And so I think it's going to continue to be more residential pull at this point. Hines is trying to get more of that excitement along with the planning and development to get more hustle and bustle down there. Once it happens, the values go up, the net operating income, which is more profit for those landlords and investors, and eventually the values will go back up, taxes start to move back towards commercial, and then they can ease up some of that residential. It's not going to be overnight. I think he's got a good idea and hopefully a good plan. And if he executes, eventually it'll pull some of the weight off the residential side, put it back on the commercial side.
Yeah, how much stock should we place in this, though? It's one guy. Yeah, there's a system in place. Do you think he has the power to change a system that's been in place for so long and in some instances been unfair over recent years?
Yeah, you know, it's somewhere to the tune of $19 billion for Cook County. I mean, we could start with trying to ease some of the expenses and try to start with lowering that number, right? That would decrease some of the burden, but that's not the tax assessor. I mean, their job is to essentially figure out who to pull from to be able to fund that bucket that's in place. I hope so. You know, and again, the downtown is struggling. We've seen a lot of sell-offs, a lot of properties that have sold way under what they were originally traded for. That decreases the values. A lot of these appeals through the Board of Review had a different formula than what the previous assessor was using. So I think Hines is going to align that sort of back to regular. You know, as far as the equitable and fairness, you know, I don't know that answer. I just think that Hines is moving towards, let's bring commercial back, let's boost downtown, let's get those values back up. Once values go up, taxes will go up. That'll be able to ease some of the residential side, and hopefully they can also decrease some of those expenses. Help out on the residential side.
You know, a part of the, and you mentioned it briefly earlier, was that, you know, there's some planning for projects was pulled, and planning has never started for other projects because of this tax situation. Are you hearing anything about whether or not some of those projects might be resurrected or may start moving forward now that this has happened, or do you think it's going to be a wait and see game for a while?
Again, I was at this Near South Planning Board meeting, essentially, and they had the planning and development director. Miss Boatwright was there. She specifically talked about a lot of excitement around projects that were going on, mostly of what were office conversion to residential. There were some that were grant-based, meaning there were going to be some tax abatements, some benefits for those developers. She also said there's been a slew of ones starting up that didn't have those same grants, if you will, and those tax abatements. So it sounds like the excitement's there. I mean, downtown is downtown. I think it will be again someday. They just have to figure out how much of that still should be office. A lot of it comes down to these trophy properties. The occupancy levels on those are fantastic. Then you get into the B and C asset classes. Those are the ones that are tanking, and sort of way to figure out how do we get those B's and C's to either a trophy for commercial, or do we get them over from office to residential? It takes time. I think it's going to work out, but I think some of those projects are ramping up. I think with the new tax assessor, his formula, and adding consistency, which we all want, which we'll, I'm sure, touch on with tariffs, consistency is keys for these investors and developers. So I think the projects are going to launch. We'll see how long they last and how Hines does.
I want to switch gears to something else. One of your competitors over at BMO, they've released a report showing Illinois companies are shifting into a growth mode. They're looking at ramping up investments and expansion plans. It seems like a positive report here. Talk to us a little about what you're hearing and seeing.
Yeah, I'm on the same side, on the business side. I mean, we've talked about it a few times. There was, a hold pattern in 24 for a lot of growth and acquisition and expansion for these business clients. The unknown, the lack of consistency has held them off from that investment, or at least in a hold pattern. Liberation Day, that's when those tariffs originally launched, kind of had a pause to it. You know, we thought 25, I thought was going to be a much better year, but a lot of that inconsistency continued. And so into 26, we're all excited, right? I mean, that's what we want. We want that excitement. We had a good Q3 in Illinois. It's one of the few times since 2012 it actually kept pace or even outpaced the U.S. economy. And so there's a lot of businesses that are in that hold pattern that are ready for that expansion and growth. And we're starting to see in my space people actually pulling the trigger on that, whether it be growth into new facilities or acquisitions of complementary businesses. And so we're seeing the same thing. We're starting to see some positivity. The business sentiment has grown, obviously, with some of the things that have happened over the last few weeks with Iran and then the price of the barrel and what that's going to do to price index and cost. It may slow it down, but as of today and at least this year, we've seen a positive mindset as well.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about some of the sectors that are looking for growth this year. They saw growth last year as well. The finance, insurance, and information sectors, according to this report, accounted for half of the state's economic growth last year. Are those sectors you're watching as well?
Both, I mean, they're both sectors that are doing well. I mean, insurance is doing fantastic. Record profits for a lot of insurance companies. We've seen our premiums go up. I'm sure everybody on the radio has listening. You know, it's just one of those things where insurance is doing well, finance is doing well. So quantum computing is another one that Chicago's focusing on to continue to push to be that premier hub. And it seems to be working. And so those industries, those sectors are doing well. They're sort of driving that success as of late, and so you sort of ride that until it changes.
What about quantum computing? This report singles out quantum computing. They have this big quantum park that's being built and coming into operation on the south side of Chicago. I don't think a lot of people know really what quantum computing is, but it's basically, you know, computing that involves hundreds of processes in just a few seconds. Talk to us a little bit about how that might change the future.
You know, technology is always going to change the outlook and the vision of where businesses go. Quantum computing is no different. It's the newest, the fastest, the best. And Pritzker and, you know, the state of Illinois is pushing to make Chicago a premier hub for that. I think we have the talent. I think we have the population for it. It looks like it's working. And so, you know, it's one of those things, just like AI, artificial intelligence, the new buzzword. Quantum computing is one of those where you want to stay ahead of it as opposed to behind it. And again, it seems to be working. We've made a big investment as a state to be able to push as the premier. So far, it looks like it's working, and hopefully it's a viable technology that'll continue to push us into the next, call it, 5 years. Everything's changing so fast, and it just updates essentially overnight. So we just hope that this investment in this technology will push us for 5 years and then figure out new ways to push it. But it's working. Seems to be working. Hopefully it works for a while.
Yeah, Dustin, you talked earlier about how we were all feeling good about things, and hoping 2026 is going to be a better year than 2025. You mentioned the tariffs and the Iran war. Let's talk a little bit about both of them. There was a report today that predicted that we might see recession-like conditions by the end of this year if everything keeps going the way it's going. Talk to us about the pitfalls that these businesses, these projects that we've been talking about here might face this year if all of this stuff goes south.
I think it goes back to the consistency. I said 24 before. I meant 25 since Liberation Day. I mean, it's one of those where it's just created inconsistency and unknown for these business owners. And these tariffs, the Supreme Court obviously came in February, I think, and knocked that down. Basically said it wasn't under the IEEPA as Trump was trying to push for. And so they had hoped there would be some consistency after that, maybe even some refunds. And then he used something from 1974 to be able to implement a global one for 10%. You know, I think we have another 120 days or so of that until they either figure out a new way to use it or potentially stop it. And again, it's those inconsistencies. If you're importing and exporting, I mean, tariffs cost. It's a real money, essentially creating hesitation for these businesses, right? So the Iran conflict has created, obviously immediate expenses for everybody when it comes to the gas pumps. You know, the barrel today is somewhere around 100, maxed out at 120. All of that affects, you know, the headline CPI, where it includes energy and food. Eventually, it's going to start to seep into all of our stuff. Everything's moved and shipped and trucked of some sorts, and so expenses are going to go up. So we have the inconsistency, if you will, of the tariffs. It's created some hesitation, and then you have potentially inflationary sort of actions going on, especially with oil, that's going to increase that. That might potentially slow down the Fed's cutting rates. And so it just goes back to the consistency. Do we know where we're going to be in a year? Can we make this move on growth or acquisition? And so even though business sentiment is there, as we talked about from that other bank, I honestly think some of these activities are going to slow things down. It's already slowed down the GDP a bit. Mm-hmm. Expectations for Q1. Tomorrow, unemployment comes out. I think that'll be big. And then the official CPI comes out on Friday. So hopefully it's over soon. The Strait of Hormuz, if we can get that open, get oil back down, that'll prevent some of that CPI stuff from kicking up, flaring up, if you will, in Q2 and Q3 and maybe beyond. But it's the inconsistency and the unknown. It's just not what businesses want.
Now, small business especially, they've been dealing with the situation with the tariffs, trying to cover some of the cost of that. But they don't really have the margins or the reserves to absorb a double whammy here, do they?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially if you know, let's say GDP is going down, that means revenue is going down, which means you're bringing in less money, but expenses are going up. That's a compression of your margins. That just means your profits are shrinking. You know, with inflation essentially going on since COVID, you know, we've seen raising prices since then. So they're hesitant to raise prices. They're trying to absorb some of these costs from tariffs. And now with these increased expenses, again, immediately with gas, but we all know food and energy is going to go up. So they're going to try to figure out, do I raise prices? Do I eat some of these expenses? I mean, we talked about it last time. Are they pulling from their savings to be able to keep up and to maintain? Big decisions for sure. And again, that inconsistency, they're just not sure how to pivot. So they got to make the best of what they have.
All right, Dustin, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Absolutely, Steve. Again, I'm on LinkedIn a lot, try to post these. Obviously, let everybody know that we're doing it together. Give me a call, shoot me an email. Happy to talk about anything related to the business side of the fence. Happy to chat.
All right, Dustin, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.